Survivor Specialist Jonna McKenna are back, and we are so excited to rewind this latest episode of 47, part one of the finale, but it was also just another episode. I don't know.
I'm just going to say,
double boot episode.
Within the first 10 seconds of the episode, Jeff referred to it as the penultimate episode, which means it can't actually be the finale if we're really getting into the semantics of it all.
But it's part one of the finale.
Yeah, but he also called it penultimate, and a penultimate is not the finale. It's literally what precedes the finale. It's our English lesson for the day.
Anywho, I'm excited to see how this end game shapes up, and I'm really excited to just dive into what we've got to talk about, because I think we have a pretty fun episode coming up today.
I do too. How did you feel about the way that this episode was presented? It's the Survivor first, and the new era loves giving us Survivor first. This is the first time we've ever had a two-part finale. The closest we've ever really come to something like this is the penultimate episode of Panama that left us on like that cliffhanger going into fire making between Suri and Terry.
Yeah, and for me that wasn't even a cliffhanger because I just hit next episode.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. I forgot. You didn't watch it live in the first place. So
no. I just went next episode.
So
this is like, you know, I came into it not viewing it as a finale because there was another section that I'm not going to know the results. Like the next episode is not just going to be the reunion or like the pizza and champagne of it all. Mm-hmm. So I went into it knowing that I might be dissatisfied with the ending of the episode and then hopeful for the finale. But luckily, Survivor did a good and gave us the result.
I don't know. I like part of me is like, okay, I'm fine with it giving us the result. It gives us that closure on this like story arc that we're going through here. But it feels like nothing that really separates it from another episode in the season to make it a finale at this point. And I'm very interested to see how that's going to feel on
Wednesday.
That's
why they just couldn't have called it a finale.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's going to be very interesting reflecting on this in the future and seeing, is this a one-time thing? Is this something, or like, is this a relevant thing? Does something happen in this like stretch of the final four that makes it exciting? Are we getting a surprise final two? I doubt it, because we still have fire making it at four. We know that for a fact.
Yeah, they would have put fire making to three or something like that.
But what's happening, I don't know. Maybe there's something exciting there. I assume we're still getting the like pizza champagne moment after the votes, but I think it'll probably be a little truncated. So maybe like 15 minutes or something like that, rather than like the full half hour it has been for the last few seasons.
I mean, I'm okay with that because it's just like, how can you do a reunion type situation right after the vote? It's just so raw.
It's one of our biggest complaints of the new era, in all honesty. And like, even like talking to the players don't enjoy it either. So
I'd almost rather have it end.
Yeah, that's fair. Survivor 50, you know what? I mean, we all assume there's going to be a live reunion for Survivor 50. We'll see it when it actually happens and they actually tell us that. But hopefully that's the case. It's just really interesting to see how you spread out a single vote and tribal council over this hour and a half, almost 2 hour time period next week. That being said, it's not very different from like old school finales that did have four people. Like we've had finales with four people before.
We had a finale with three.
Have we? Which one had three?
Australian Outback.
Right. Weird. So it's not like completely out of the question where there would only be a single challenge and a single tribal council leading into everything. But I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see how conversations break down. How did you feel about the story arcs we got? Like, it kind of felt like we had two regular sized episodes of Survivor here that were just like 60 minutes rather than.
Yeah, I was fine 90. With everything that happened. I feel satisfied by everyone's story arc in those two episodes. My still biggest gripe, Caroline. Like, sure. Caroline, I needed more from, but, like, that wasn't in this last episode. But, like, Andy going home was something that I thought was going to happen, and it felt right for Andy to go home. And then Genevieve also, like, yes, that should be the option to go home here. Unless maybe Rachel, you know, pulls something like Sam was saying to Teenie and Sue of, like, maybe they flip and say, oh, we're working together. But I think this was the right way it should have happened for maybe, I don't know, for everyone, but, like, for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, you were kind of put into a corner. I think we saw in that first episode, everyone was getting for Rachel. It's kind of what they had to do there. And I was even having this conversation with my roommate at the time. It was like, yes, they should probably respect the hidden immunity idol here, but, like, how do they do that? They force a 2-2-2 with
Sue and
Rachel, but then Sue also has an immunity idol, so that doesn't go quite so well.
I know, but Sue's not going to think to play it, and then she goes home.
Probably, but, like, do you care about Sue? Everyone there wants Sue sitting with them at the end of the game. So if that's the case, like, you want Rachel out. You can't get Genevieve out because she has immunity. And, I mean, you're Andy, Sam, and Teenie, so does it really matter which of the others go home as long as it's not you? So I think, like, the pile on is almost acceptable here. It does seem weird that there was no discussion about the possibility of idols at all. Especially because we did see
Genevieve has the idol.
But all the people there knew that she didn't, other than Teenie. Like, the thing is that I'm saying is, like, Genevieve, Sam, and Andy aren't, like, there's no idol discussion. Maybe it is because it is that truncated episode, and it's only an hour for a single boot rather than the hour and a half we have been getting all season. Maybe it's just because they just assumed that, because we saw them talking in the second episode about the red paint idol,
right? Yeah.
Obviously. And so it was on their minds, but did they just assume that it had to be one of the original Tukus that had it then? Maybe. And they just thought there was no way Rachel was the one?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I do like the framing we got in this first episode where it's like, oh, because the problem is like, as an audience, we knew exactly what was happening that entire episode. But it didn't feel stable. Like, it didn't feel like, okay, we know what's happening. Teenie has jumped to the other side. They're all piling on Rachel. There's still that question of, okay, who is Rachel? Rachel gets the power to dictate who's going home. And we get this, like, closure to her and Andy's storyline that started in the premiere with Andy trying to get her to talk to him during the middle of the night when he wasn't feeling good. She kind of shutting him down. They, you know, ebb and flowed throughout the rest of the game. Andy turned on her quite a few times. And they never seem to really come fully back together. So it seems very poetic for it to be Rachel who actually ultimately is the person to decide Andy's going home.
Yeah, and this is basically what our outwit moment of the week is, and it's telling someone they're going home. So everyone this episode tells Rachel, you're going home. Andy does a bit of jury management. Sam is just like, I'm sorry, like, it just has to end like this. I'm riding with Genevieve. And Genevieve is like, game respects game. I gotta go with you. And, you know, Teenie flips the script and was like, Rachel, you're the biggest threat. But Sue sticks to Genevieve because Sue sticks to people that she's loyal to.
Yeah, you mean Rachel. Sue sticks to Rachel.
Oh, sorry. Sue sticks to Rachel because she ride or dies with people she's loyal to. So they kept taking out Sue's main allies. So Sue, like, trickled down her ally, like, rankings, and Rachel is next. So, you know, Sue's not going to write down Rachel's name. And this is basically the episode that we're watching over on the Patreon, Micronesia, season 16, episode 12, I'm going to fix her. And this is where Amanda plays the idol at Tribal Council and boots Alexis, where everyone in camp is like, Amanda, you're going home. You're the biggest threat. Amanda, you're going home. Ceree pitches, like, if I knew that you, like, if I knew I could save you some way where it's not going to end in a tie, you know I'd ride with you. Amanda tries to guilt Eric to vote with her, but ultimately Amanda plays this idol, and it's 4-2, just like what we saw in 47, a surprise idol play, and these two women ride, who are ride or dying for each other, vote together no matter what, and then idol out someone that, you know, name starts with an A.
There are so many different parallels to everything that goes on here too in that episode. First off, the weird parallel that happens in this anti-penultimate episode of Micronesia and this penultimate episode of 47 is there's two boots in that episode because James gets medevac that episode.
Right.
So there just happens to be two people going home in that episode too. But everything around the vote comes down to the fact that, I mean, there's a little more speculation that Amanda could possibly have the idol for a little bit because she goes to exile. She asks to go to exile.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff made it very clear the idol is back on exile. And she comes back and empties out her bag to prove that she doesn't have anything, much like we saw Sam going through Rachel's bag mm-hmm. in this episode. Like, there's still that bag investigation to see if they have anything. Then we go to the one close ally who they tell about the idol, right? Like, Rachel tells Sue, yeah, I have an idol. We're fine. And mm-hmm. Amanda, before getting the idol in this situation, tells Parvati, yeah, like, it's under our flag. Like, we can get it. I need you just to, like, block for me so we can do it. So it's just such a fascinating conversation.
Is this even a question, Blake? I'm just saying, is this even a question?
You're right. I'm going for my Canadian queen here.
I'm going for the one who's in my background.
Yeah, obviously. But this is, it's so fascinating to see how exactly this parallels. And then you have the people, you know, the people who are like, I don't really want to do it. Like, you kind of have like Sam and Eric in a similar situation in this episode yeah. where like Sam's like, sorry, Rachel, like it has to be you. And whereas mm-hmm. Eric is. And
Rachel almost does a little bit of like guilt tripping, similar yeah. to what Amanda does. And it just like doesn't work out. They're kind of both the, you know, athlete boys.
Yeah. And then you also have, like, Ceree and Andy are almost kind of in a similar situation. Not quite the same, because Ceree's not, like, having to pitch her jury case.
Yeah, but Ceree is almost, like, the flip to make it a 3-3. And, like, mm-hmm. Andy is almost the flip to, like, do something. So, yeah, I can see where the parallel is. But Andy also winds up
fascinating being racist. To see that this is one of those moments that I never thought we would actually be able to discuss in the rewind. Yeah.
You glitched out somewhere.
I did. Ooh. I was just trying to figure out where it was. Am I lagging?
Slightly. Yeah, you keep freezing for me.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, I will continue to talk about this episode. There were so many parallels while watching it, so it's definitely a good watch to try and, you know, see this episode of 47 in a little bit of a different light. And then, he's back.
I'm back.
All right, talk your moment.
So my moment's a little different because, first off, it comes pre-merge, which is very weird, especially in a post-idol era. And that is another thing that when we were trying to figure out our moments for this, we had to take into consideration, because the weight of telling someone they're going home before the invention of the immunity idol changed drastically. It just as it's changed drastically in the new era because of the Shot in the Dark. And this instance isn't like an entire tribe coming and telling someone that they're going home. It's a single person deciding, I'm going to be the compassionate person and say that that this person's going home, because it seems pretty obvious to me. And that's Laura Bonham telling Vetus he's going home in Blood vs. Water.
It's so funny. I love this scene because Laura is like, all right, I think it's pretty obvious us group of girls are just going to band together. So I'm not even going to talk with them and see like, hey, can we just tell Vetus it's that he's gonna be going out here. She just, they come back from the challenge after they lose, and she just goes, Vetus, it's you. And then that gives Vetus the motivation to, I mean, he had motivation to say before, but like that gives him even more of a, you know, it gives him now a name to push. And it's like, all right, so let's go Laura instead, because how dare she just throw out my name like that? I'm sad. I'm appealing to these women's emotions. So let's go for her instead. And they all agree and vote out Laura here instead of Vetus, who is the kind of obvious target and boot. But Laura is just as much of an outsider to the women as Vetus is, almost.
Yeah, I mean, Laura was, of course, the outsider throughout this entire pre-merge in Blood versus Water, just for being the only loved one on the former players' tribe for the beginning of it. Didn't really fit in completely with those former players. And despite, you know, being in a majority on this side of loved ones versus former players, there was this, like, strong female bond that was happening on this swap tribe. And again, that's why Vetus was on the outs. But going into a merge situation, because this is right before the merge, Blood versus Water, if you have someone who's just saying something like this in a game where, again, hidden immunity idols are out there, and to be fair, Laura's experience with Survivor from her husband was not a game that involved hidden immunity idols,
aside from Heroes on that island before.
Like, Heroes versus Villains has the idols and everything, but like, if she, yeah, but the time she's on the island, like, there's no hidden immunity idols those times, and it's not something you're really thinking about.
Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah, well, I didn't mention that. It's okay. but then you look at this and you see the situation where, and I think we really get it from like Monica here, can you trust Laura if she's doing this? Like, she didn't even consult anyone to say, yeah, yes, I think this that's is the plan.
Big thing here is like, there was no consultation. There was no like, hey, girls, let's, is this the vote? Let's just make sure, pal up. And she just went rogue. And so that jumpstarts everybody, where Genevieve was talking about like, this is the easy plan and something always happens to easy plans. So like, this could have been the easy plan. And now you did that, which made us have to do a not easy plan.
And I think like the difference between 47 and this moment in 27 is that, again, it kind of goes back to the formatting of the game, where 47, this is coming like right after a tribal council. They're talking. That's when Teenie comes over and like they have that conversation. They all decide, yeah, Rachel's the person we have to go after. Teenie's spilling the beans about her block of vote and everything like that. And alternatively, like in Blood versus Water, because there's a longer stretch between things, there probably wasn't a lot of strategic talk between the last tribal council and the immunity challenge, where you could actually come to a conclusion, this is what we're doing. And it's not just like, this is what we're presumably doing.
Well, they had just swapped though. So like there was
this is the second swap, post-swap tribal council, if I recall correctly.
Okay. Because I thought they lost like right off the bat though.
I think so, but I'm pretty sure this is the second one. Okay. I can literally double check that right now, but
anywho, yes, it's interesting to see it happen in the pre-merge, and when like idols are afoot and Vetus knows he's the clear odd one out, like you don't want to tell the clear odd one out that he's actually going home, just in case, you know, there is that idol floating around, or, you know, maybe he wrestles up some votes, which he does against you.
You just give that opportunity to them, for them to do something. And whereas it's a little different in 47, because Rachel kind of had to already have an immunity idol for something to happen there. I don't fault Andy for doing what he did here. I think it was a very clever move for him to pitch his case to someone he thought was going to the jury before they were actually going to the jury, because there is that impression of him as just being like this flip-flopper, no agency, isn't really dictating anything. It made sense for him to outline his game. Unfortunately, it just
I mean, that's also similar of like, you want to leave someone with a good taste in their mouth going to Redemption Island too. Cause if they come back, then you want them maybe to work with you or in at least just not go against you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did check, by the way, it was the second post swap and the first one, the same tribe went and they voted out Cat.
Oh, it was the Cat vote. I forgot about Cat.
So I was right there. So it wasn't even obvious that Vetus was going in the first place.
So are we good to move on to outplay, John?
Yeah, let's move on to outplay here.
All right, we're talking late game challenge clutch wins to save themselves. So we have Rachel's clutch win here to secure herself, final four. And she seems to always clutch these immunities when she needs them. So, John, why don't you start off with your person going all the way back?
Yeah, so we are going to go all the way back. But like before I get into that, I want to say something that came to my mind today, and I know it's going to be controversial, and people are probably going to blow up our comment section because I'm going to make this comparison. But when we were talking about clutch immunity wins, like we're talking about, we kind of tried to avoid like most of the big names and try to do that. But I had this realization today.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of conversation going on the internet about Rachel being the best player of the new era, which like I don't necessarily disagree with by any means. Dalabate has gone as far as to say Rachel might be playing the best game of Survivor ever.
I don't know about that one.
That's a conversation out there. But Rachel's path to get to Final Tribal Council at this point mirrors Mike Holloway's.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's controversial at all.
I'm just saying, like, if we are talking about Rachel as one of the best players of the new era, maybe we need to put more respect on Mike Holloway's game as well. Granted, Rachel has had a much better social game than Mike Holloway, so not a, like, tit for tat there, but...
So we'll take a pause on your moment, because Brad Culpepper, who clutched immunity wins from Final 7 on... is who I'm going to be talking about for my outplay moment, who is very similar to Mike Holloway. So it just depends, is she the Brad Culpepper or is she the Mike Holloway? Will she, you know, make that win or does she get second place? We don't know. But
she hasn't actually gotten to Final Tribal Council yet either. She does still have to, at the very least, make fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brad was going home at Final 7, same for Rachel. And then she clutched the win at Final 7. So did Brad. And Brad, like, did this, like, rage celebration when he won, like, through the sand and was like, yes, yes, because I'm going home. And now I'm not. You got to find someone else to vote out. And each time he like won immunity, that this kind of led Sarah to be like more in line with Brad because, oh, he's winning the immunities. Now I like, here's my direction of, you know, allegiance and things like that. But Brad was on the chopping block and he saved himself from Final 7 to Final 3.
Yeah. It's nothing short of clutch. And if it wasn't for Sarah's absolutely stupendous social game throughout that entire season, Brad Culpepper probably had a chance of winning that if he was sitting against probably anyone other than Sarah and maybe Sari.
I mean, got that far. the final four, it was Ty, Sarah, Troy, and Brad. If it was Brad, Troy, and Ty, I think Brad has the dub. Brad
probably wins. Yeah. So it's very interesting to see that, especially because like it's repeated there. And Rachel's hasn't been quite as clutch because it hasn't been as repeated, but Rachel definitely had to win this final five immunity.
Also, if she wins final four immunity, she has her fourth immunity win, which would tie the women's record, and Brad tied the men's record.
Yeah. And yeah,
For Mike Holloway.
Mike Holloway too, right? Like it's just it's very interesting when we're looking at these clutch wins that's mm-hmm. kind of how it translates. That it's those performances towards the final stretch. And it's really weird when we look at, you know, immunity in 47, because aside from Sue, who won it at the same time as Kyle, and like Gabe that one time, Genevieve, like it's just been so dominant by people. And I feel like we're supposed to believe that that's not a thing in the new era.
Mm-hmm.
But people still perform when they need to, it seems. Like Kyle didn't get it when he needed to, when he was clearly being voted out. But Rachel did this. And the immunity challenge we got for that final five immunity was so tense, so close. It could have gone either way. And it was just so thrilling watching.
Two of the same challenges, too. Like, her niche is that struggle, that balancing struggle mm-hmm. kind of challenge.
I suppose so.
So when I saw this, I was like, oh, Rachel is the odds-on favorite here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. So it'll be interesting to see if she can tie that record next week.
Yes.
But I'm going to go back to someone who kind of broke up some early plans here, because we are going to throw it back. We're not going to go all the way back. Like, there's some argument that Wigglesworth.
I mean, there's not some. There is an argument. She wins.
Yeah.
Outright.
Yeah, it sets the female record right from the beginning, and we haven't surpassed it yet. But there's arguments as to whether or not those were clutch performances, and like Toggy would have actually voted her out if they had the option to. But
I think so.
And then if you go to Australian Outback, obviously Colby wins five in a row.
Mm-hmm.
In the final stretch there, but Colby was probably making it to the end even if he wasn't winning those, because he did have a good social game. But we're going to go to Africa, because Africa, we did have someone win some clutch immunities to secure their spot at Final Tribal Council. That is Kim Johnson, who broke up that trio of boys. And I mean, there could be some argument here that, you know, Ethan, Lex, and Tom might have turned on each other without Kim winning immunity. But I don't think Kim gets to the end if she doesn't win immunity for those mm-hmm. last couple of times.
Yeah. Kim Johnson messing up these boys' plans is just so funny to me, that she's just like, thinks she has these alliances with the guys, and like is like, all right, I'm just winning it. And she didn't, I don't think she even had a clue she was gonna be next on the chopping block, and then she just squeaks her way to that final seat. Unfortunately for her, Ethan was Ethan, and she lost at Final Tribal Council. But yeah, those were great wins to like really secure her spot in the Final Tribal Council, because without those, she was toast too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it did make it so there was this like interesting dynamic there too, right? Like the question of which of the three go in that final four situation, right? Where Tom ends up going mm-hmm. and then Lex ends up going. It's also very interesting that she decides she has a better chance against Ethan than Lex. It's just fascinating to see that. And it is one of those things that we don't get out of clutch immunity wins anymore, because we don't have that moment where someone is choosing who they're sitting beside. Yes, technically the person who wins the final four gets to choose one of the people coming with them. But because that person tends to usually be the GOAT, it doesn't, I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, like 41, for example, where Xander decides to take Erica to the end and then Erica goes on and wins. But for the most part, like, it's usually that zero vote finalist who ends up being the person taken to Final Tribal Council through fire making. So it doesn't feel as like statement wise as like, you know, the decision between Cass and Tony that Wu has to make in Kageyan.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I think that is kind of a similar situation to what Kim Johnson was dealing with in Africa. This decision of, do you sit beside Ethan or do you sit beside Lex?
What? Yeah.
And I think she makes the same kind of decision that Wu ends up making there, where I think Ethan's the more sociable person and a harder one to beat that way. Or she could go with a person who might have rubbed a few more people on the jury the wrong way, but also still played a very respectable game.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens this next episode, to see really who Rachel could remind us of, or, you know, someone else like Sue gets herself a clutch win to get herself to the in a final seat and have the decision on who sits with her. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this next part of the finale.
Do you have any guesses as to who you think will end up being in fire making against each other?
I think either Sam or Rachel and Teenie.
I agree.
But I would love a Sam and Rachel.
I think we're headed to a race. Oh, did I freeze again?
Yeah, it's fine. You can continue. We're good. Oh, he left me. Okay. So what I would love is a Sue immunity win here. And then she just takes Rachel and it's Sam versus Teenie. That would be great. And then we bring Sam into the final tribal council and it's Sam, Sue, and Rachel. I think that'll provide the most drama and the most interesting final tribal council. So I just was riffing while you were gone saying, I want Sue to win immunity, bring Rachel, and Sam and Teenie are going against each other in fire with Sam winning.
I think we're headed for a Teenie Rachel fireman. I don't know what's going on. There's a
John!
I'm getting a little wild out here. There's a windstorm. I can't help.
Well, with that, we're going to just move on to our Outlast. And we are going to talk Clash of the Titans. So Rachel and Genevieve were pitted against each other as these Titans of the game, or Titans of at least this season, where they were going against each other and, you know, game respects game, but we love you as a person, blah, blah, blah. So if John is here, I'd love for him to talk about his moment. John is not here, so I will talk about mine. All right. So I'm going to talk Philippines here, where Denise and Malcolm had been working together for the majority of the season. And, well, not majority, like all season, except for the final vote, where now it's Denise versus Malcolm and one of them has to go. So they kind of fight and vie for he who shall not be named and Lisa Welch's votes to get to that final tribal council seat. So I think Malcolm and Denise is just like one of the biggest, you know, they're one of the biggest duos in Survivor, and I don't know yet how Rachel and Genevieve will like live up to this like powerhouse Clash of the Titans like duo name, but it'll be interesting to see their longevity as Survivor rolls out. What are your thoughts on Malcolm and Denise?
I think what it comes down to, and the interesting thing with Malcolm and Denise versus Genevieve and Rachel, is Genevieve and Rachel started in opposing tribes, and they kind of came to this clash where they both kind of recognize each other as threats at the merge, and were kind of positioning things to go after each other, but never really did it until it was absolutely necessary. And we kind of saw that like mutual respect we were getting from them in the second half of the episode this week. Whereas with Malcolm and Denise, you have these two people who we've kind of been following the story of the entire season. Like, the Philippines, like, Survivor Philippines is Malcolm and Denise's story. And instead of them being, like, yes, I think to us viewers, they come off as Titans because they are incredibly strategic. They perform well in challenges when they aren't on tribes and they're actually competing individually instead. But they're kind of that like underdog story the entire time.
Yeah, so both finally, of them kind of have that arc.
Yeah, and then when we get to that point where they're clashing, it's like, yes, they have gotten to the point where they are the Titans. They are finally clashing with each other. Why does this have to happen? We don't want to see this, but we know it has to in order for one of them to win the game.
Yeah, exactly. And it, I mean, yeah, those two very much parallel, even though, like you said, one started on separate tribes, one started together. They both have that underdog. Genevieve was like kicked down, had to align with Sam. Rachel is target numero uno, trying to scrape by. And then, you know, Denise, going to every tribal council, sure, Malcolm wins that second half of the pre-merge, but he's down in numbers where he only has Denise as his truest ally. So they both kind of have similar underdog storylines. And with Genevieve gone, Sam right now is her biggest competition. And Sam has played a very different game to Rachel, where I think Genevieve and Rachel have played similarly. Malcolm and Denise played similarly. So it'll be, it's not the same. Rachel and Sam is not the same as like Rachel and Genevieve.
I think where the biggest thing with the comparison between these, like Malcolm and Denise and Rachel and Genevieve comes, I think this is an instance where everyone would rather see them duke it out at Final Tribal Council to figure out what was going to happen rather than see mm-hmm. them have to cut one of them before that point. Because sure. I know for myself, I really wanted both of these women to just duke it out at Final Tribal Council. That's what I wanted to see. And it seems like the general response from the pop, like, it didn't seem like we had Team Rachel versus Team Genevieve. It was more like, yeah, Team Rachel kind of,
and Genevieve.
Yeah, it was like you're kind of supporting both of them. You're like, yeah, both of these women are doing fantastic. We love seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one of them I want to win. I just want one of them to win. And that was kind of what led me to be a little disappointed in this finale part one, was seeing Genevieve go. And now, like that clash happened early. I still have hope, like maybe Sam gets a little scrappy here and we get some excitement in this second part of the finale. But man, mm-hmm. it just wouldn't compare to seeing these two heavy hitters go at each other.
Speaking of heavy hitters going at each other, while you still have internet, John, please talk about your moment.
I mean, we're going back to Panama. It's inevitable. We can't not talk about Panama. I already mentioned it. It was like the closest thing we've had to this like two-part finale before. It's Terry and Artis. And this, I think, is very similar to the Genevieve-Rachel storyline, because this is that rivalry that was kind of brewing the entire season. And it's not as pronounced, like Jeff isn't feeding into it as much as he did, because it's not challenge-based as the Terry-Aris rivalry was. However, the storyline we kept getting was, Genevieve's like, yeah, let's go after Rachel. And Rachel's like, yeah, let's go after Genevieve. And it kept coming to heads and they kept clashing. And we kind of see them acknowledge it at the end, right? But there's still this mutual respect. And I think that's really what happened with Terry and Aris in the end too, is there is this mutual respect. And that is another instance where we didn't get to see the two Titans clash at the very end because one of them falls short because...
Talk Danielle, about clutch immunity
wins. Clutch immunity win from Danielle DiLorenzo there to ensure her spot at the Final Tribal Council in Panama. It's just, that's the type of rivalry that's so fun to see. And I don't know, like a lot of the times we talk about rival seasons and the potentials for rival seasons. Terry and Aris, that's a rivals pairing that you could put on a rival season. I don't know if Rachel and Genevieve are.
No, because Terry and Aris have that butt heads where I think Rachel and Genevieve would be like, okay, so we're working together, right? Like, yeah, exactly. I think there is a mutual respect between Aris and Terry, but at the same time, they want to best each other, like, more than respect each other. Like, there are moments like, call a ambulance, Terry's crying on the course, and like the doesn't respect women, and the my wife is more important than your mom. Like, there are moments of, like, older brother, little brother, even though Aris has an older brother. And where I think Rachel and Genevieve would definitely just link up together and run the game rather, and we would get that duke out at Final Tribal Council. Though I will say this last episode is similar to Aris and Terry challenge wise, because we had that Genevieve win with Rachel close, and then we had the Rachel win with Genevieve right behind as well. So we did have like that, you know, dynamic of which of them is going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we really boil down to it, like, I think, like you said, we even have that moment in that second half of the episode where Genevieve and Rachel are like congratulating each other at camp in front of everyone else, which, weird choice. I'm just going to put it out there. That's a weird choice. But that, even that moment where Genevieve's like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that we just couldn't work with each other at all because like the game didn't let us. We were just on opposite sides of the game. That I think leads into your hypothesis there that like if they were to be on a returning season together, they would probably end up working together because I think their play styles do mesh well. They just started too far apart to be able to come together.
Yeah, I agree. So that pretty much wraps up our Outwit, Outplay, Outlast moments of the week. So everyone, please, even if you're not a patron, watch episode 12 of Micronesia. It is so good. After watching this episode of 47, and it just has, like we were talking about before, many parallels. But if you are a patron, hit us up over there tomorrow. That's where we will be where we will have our rewind discussing that episode. But John, what's going on in Specialist Universe?
Well, as always, make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. There's one more week left of 47, which means you still have just under a week to get 50% off your first month of Patreon if you're not already a Patreon. Definitely consider doing that because we have so much content on there. It's well worth it. We have Every Season Matters moving on to Cook Islands now. We have $5 Tuesdays where Phil and I discuss a new movie every week. There's the Survivor Rock Draw. We have Phil's after show, which this week was actually Will and Blake doing an after show. So that's a dynamic we don't usually get. So make sure you check that out if you're a $20 patron. And Phil's almost done Australian Survivor 2019 now. So that's all there in the Patreon. And then on YouTube, Phil and Will recap the episode on Wednesday. And then last night, Blake and Alexa dug a little deeper into it. So definitely go check that out, especially if you're missing Alexa's presence on the channel a little bit. And if you are, like, surprise, the finale predictions and power rankings is going to be a big smattering of the team. It's Phil, it's Will, it's Blake, and it's Alexa, all giving all their predictions for this last final four stretch of the season. And then there's us, and we're here too. And we'll be back here
back
next week to talk about this Final Four finale. It's the first time we've had a Final Four finale since Kageyan. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. It should be a lot of fun. And we'll be right back here to tell you about those moments in Survivor's Pass.
Goodbye.